And translation, Rabbi Edwards. No, I'm kidding. Welcome back, gang. Thank you for that little ditty, Jason. A little Israeli music to start off our session here with Rabbi Lisa Edwards from, let me get this right, Beth Chaim Chadashim. Not bad
Chadashim.
For Chadashim. Okay, not bad for a Gentile, I guess. Welcome, Rabbi.
Thank you.
So you have been the rabbi at BCC for how many years?
25.
That's
25 years.
That's probably Jason's entire lifetime, isn't it? Yeah,
Jason. Or more than.
Right, or more Jason? Than your entire lifetime, I think.
It's almost. I'm 26 right now.
Okay, so as
close,
long
though.
As you've been
I
on the
I think I did your baby naming, Jason.
Tell us about the history of the synagogue. It was the first in the nation, right?
Yeah, it was founded in 1972, so well before I got there. By a small group of gay and lesbian Jews who actually had been attending Reverend Troy Perry's living room meetings. When
he was a guest a few weeks ago here on the show.
Yeah. Wonderful
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
So he had was in the process of founding MCC, the Metropolitan Community Church,
right.
And really in that welcoming environment. Some Jews who were looking for some safe haven
right.
to still talk about religion.
And God and their spirituality.
Exactly.
They ended up in Troy's living room too, huh?
Right.
I didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah. Huh. And he was very encouraging to them. You know, he said, you're welcome here, of course, but
right.
you're Jews. Why don't you?
Yeah, start your own synagogue.
And they were not sure how to do that. And Troy called a local rabbi. At the Reform Movement headquarters, and they were very welcoming. And
really, in 1972, they were supportive, huh?
They were individually they were supportive, or
right.
individuals were supportive,
right?
And it didn't take all that long, really, for the whole movement to be accepting. So again, Reverend Perry kind of stayed with us for a while and encouraged, but there were rabbis who stepped in, and then just the lay leaders of the congregation really got organized pretty quickly.
Wow.
And started having their own services. It started in June, you know. It was kind of a pride. Pride Month wasn't really so set in its ways at that time, but they started in June of 1972, and they've held services ever since. Many lay leaders have gone through there.
Wow.
As well as rabbis.
So I'm curious, because I know a little bit, like I was saying before you guys got here, I know just enough Bible to be dangerous to myself and others, right? I know just enough, because I was raised Catholic. But most of the prohibitions on homosexuality in the Old Testament come out of Leviticus, which was a Judaic code of mores and about sanction, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. And then, of course, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is also in Leviticus. Okay. How do you, as the rabbi, reconcile those passages? And I'm probably asking you a question that's like yesterday's news, but for the listener who's tuning in, how do you reconcile those passages?
Well, I think in ways similar to the way I reconcile all the problematic passages in our tradition, but it's our tradition is one that invites evolving thinking about things. It's a tradition that tells people that there are discussions to be had about everything, and that we need to have those discussions together.
Right.
That it's a tradition that says this is a religion that's intended to make life better for people and to make living in community better for people. So if at a time they were worried maybe about procreation and growing
the people, the tribe,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. That may have been a reason for
discouraging same-gender sexual relations, right? If
exactly.
you're trying to breed
exactly.
up a tribe, you need to have male and female.
Right.
And of course, this wasn't done in a vacuum. They were there. I mean, this is ancient Judaic history. The Greeks were obviously around, and at many times the Jews were enslaved by the Egyptians and others.
Right.
And so they were watching what other cultures were doing.
Right. And I think also, we often talk about that the fact that, you know, if it's prohibited, it's probably because it was happening.
And somebody else was doing it.
That's very affirming to me.
Right.
Like, that it's tells us the there Greeks. Have always been.
The Greeks invented democracy. I learned that on my big fat Greek wedding.
And there's also just a belief that God created deliberately and with purpose and clearly created us as well as everybody else.
So. You know, the Trump administration just created a human rights...
Speaking
of creating something, a human rights panel where they have invited every anti-LGBT religious leader in the country to serve on. Mm. So we know we're going to be targeted in the upcoming year.
Yeah.
But they often refer to natural law. Natural law as being the fallback. But if we look at the way Mother Nature has worked, it's true that she has, you know, very defined black and white and up and down, but there's always variance in Mother Nature's world, and there's always deviancy, and that's where evolution occurs, in those deviant places.
Yeah, and Judaism really embraces that. You know, there's even a blessing for seeing someone or something that's very different and unusual to you. And the blessing says, blessed are you, God, who varies the forms of creation.
Mm.
You know, it's not a blessing that says, thank you for not making me like that, or it's in no way negative, right? It's this acknowledgement that God has created all of us.
Right.
And that we are all part of God's creation.
You know, I guess what's especially maddening to me about Trump, and there's so much, I mean, we could spend hours, is the way that the administration's attacking immigrants and getting the religious right to support them. Because biblically speaking, there are passages in both Old and New Testament about how we treat foreigners, how we treat strangers. Because remember that you were once a stranger in your own land.
A commandment that's given more times than any other in the Hebrew Bible and the Torah.
It is to be kind to foreigners and strangers, right?
And to remember that we know how it feels.
To be a foreign.
And seldom does a commandment even come along with, do this because you know how it feels.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And for the Jews in our stories in Torah, we do know how it feels.
Right.
We were those strangers. We were treated badly. And now our instruction, our injunction is to do it right for others, to treat them well.
And just looking at it historically, I mean, these were people in the desert, you know, often nomadic, wandering about from tent to tent. And in the desert, if you didn't get access to water, you were going to die in the desert. And so the whole idea of welcoming in whoever showed up at your doorstep was a way of showing grace and goodness. And I think that's where it comes from.
And hospitality is there. You know, even in Jewish tradition, the interpretation of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah is not about homosexuality. It's about that they had plenty. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah had plenty, and they didn't share it.
With the foreigners, And that is actually in the Bible, that these angels showed up and to be taken in, and they refused them the hospitality they would have extended to any other stranger.
Exactly.
And so what happened? They got volcanic rock thrown all over them. That'll teach you. But to me, it's depressing to watch otherwise very good religion-believing people to be so far astray from the essence of their teachings.
Yeah.
Because the women and children coming from El Salvador right now, they are coming out of desert and desperation, and they need water
and
food and shelter, and we are just turning our backs.
And I think that you will see, as these demonstrations grow and the gatherings in opposition to that treatment is growing, you do see a lot of religious people in the counter demonstrations.
Thank goodness for the religious left. And I think that you have been one of the clergy members that's been doing that for your lifetime.
Yeah, I've been trying.
You have been. We're going to go to a commercial break, but when we come back, let's focus on that, your journey. All right, thanks for tuning in to Sidebar with John Duran here on Channel Q.
The new Channel Q.
I just, you know, I don't know what it is between the Muslim call to prayer or the Israeli call to prayer. I love it. I just think it's so beautiful, though it's so melodic. Anyway, I digress. Welcome back, gang. We're talking to Rabbi Lisa Edwards from Beth Chaim Chadash. Shem. Out of Shem.
It means house of new life.
Oh, that's a beautiful name for the very first LGBT synagogue in the world. Yeah. Wonderful. And we have been joined in studio by John Bozeman with Truth Wins Out. John has been fighting against reparative therapy, where they tried to turn him straight.
Oh, it didn't work.
Of course it didn't work. Of course, my poor little Christian
boy. Those
things
never work.
They never work.
They
never.
Tried.
Lisa, Rabbi, when you got started 25 years ago, what was the burning issue for the synagogue then?
Well, we were still in the middle of
AIDS. AIDS, right.
Yeah, so it was a lot of that, of taking care of people, of making sure that people had what they needed, such as it was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have any drugs that were really working yet.
Right, right.
So it was a lot of, I guess the good part of what came out of that is that people really bonded to each other.
Yes,
took care
of course.
Of each other.
In
really
dire circumstances.
Family. And
yeah. How many people did you lose in your synagogue, do you think?
A couple of dozen, more than that. Right?
Mm.
So, and leaders of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And friends of many. And so many people were widowed, and so many people facing chronic ailments.
Right.
Even those who survived.
You know, so many of the early leaders in the LGBT movement in Los Angeles were also Jewish. And I think it's part of, I'm guessing, the teaching of Torah about getting engaged with community.
Yeah.
Can I think back, Robbie Eichberg, I know, was a prominent Jewish. David Wexler,
right.
Who started all the APA AIDS Project Los Angeles. Diane Abbott, who created AIDS Project Los Angeles and HRC. I mean, Roberta Bennett, who created the Victory Fund. All of these very prominent Jewish lesbian and gay people starting up activism in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and I think it is second nature. Like, many Jews take part in social justice work without even realizing
right.
what the background is for that. But I think it goes back to what we were saying before the break about the most, it's not only the most commonly mentioned commandment in Torah to take care of the stranger, to reach out to the stranger, to not make a stranger a stranger. It's in there way more times than anything else. How do we take care of one another? How do we make sure that we live in community? And this assumption, and it's really at the heart of Judaism, I think, is that people live in community, and
mm-hmm.
that is a good way to live. But how do we do that while still taking care of not just people's physical well-being, but their emotional well-being, that hearts are cared for as well as physical bodies.
You know, as we've gone through the AIDS epidemic and through gays in the military and through marriage equality and through everything else,
yeah.
you have always been there as one of the voices of the clergy.
I've tried to be.
You have been. I've seen you over the decades. You have been there. And what an extraordinary role you've played.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, it's been a real opportunity. I feel blessed by having had the privilege of coming to Los Angeles to a congregation like BCC that really, intentionally didn't just take care of its inner core, but was working to make the world a better place and inform people about who we are and what we want and what we need to be part of a whole. WHOLE.
I wasn't going to say anything.
So you know, I said this recently, John, at the City of West Hollywood, because the City of West Hollywood has been there as a meeting place. You know, it's a place that has for these decades now been calling people together and saying, you know, we're stronger as a community. So let's show our numbers. Let's
right.
be there in together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of how I've had the opportunity over the years to be a street lesbian rabbi as well as
And I think it's been important because a lot of LGBT people are damaged by religion. I mean, John's going to be here talking about
yeah.
that in just a second.
Yeah.
But to
We've
see a
it.
Rabbi show up, you know, or somebody with a collar on that's on our side, at least for me, made me do a double take at the beginning. Like, what are they doing here?
Yeah.
Why are they here? They're religious people.
yeah, I think it's true. I think that was something that we needed to overcome also. as people do sort of turn away from, because John will testify that there's been experiences that there was good reason to turn away. Mm-hmm. But there's also good reason why LGBT people have gone into clergy positions and helped to make our religions a more opening and welcome place. And that has certainly changed a lot over the 2.5 decades, more than that,
right,
that people have been working about.
And I think we have become more God-reliant than God-defiant, because initially we were God-defiant because we were told we weren't welcome, right? Mm-hmm. We were told, you're not welcome in the synagogue, you're not welcome in the church, you're not welcome in the mosque, you're not welcome anywhere here. And we are out there fighting for our lives. And at some point, we all, at least speaking for myself and many others, reach a point where I just say, God, please help. Because it's so overwhelming. We turn to something greater than ourselves, whether it's in recovery or whether it's in social work or something, and actually then watch a spirituality grow in a place where there's flowers in the desert, where you never thought the flowers would bloom.
And I think the way you're describing it is accurate for a lot of people, that we have come to that, like we've done the political work, we've fought back. But then there's something more that we need. You know, mm-hmm. There's a soul. Something's pulling our soul that we need a spiritual place and presence also. And that, I think, is where the queer-friendly and queer, mainly queer congregations have been a real place for people, a real home base for people, a safe haven.
Well, we got to go to commercial again, but will you come back again? Now that you're retired,
I
can have you come back.
Really, I got nothing. Just invite me back.
I'll have you come back, and we love having members of the clergy here, so it would be awesome.
Thank you, John.
Gang, thanks for tuning in. When we come back, we'll be talking to Lane Hudson from Zero for Zeros and John Bozeman from Truth Wins Out. Thanks for tuning in to Sidebar with John Duran here on Channel Q.
The new Channel Q.